The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. The need for independent media is more critical than ever as people search for the truth. For the past 20 years, the Power Hour has focused on subjects which inform and educate about the real challenges we face as a nation. Join us as we discuss the Constitution, current events, and natural health solutions with the best experts on radio. Learn from some of the most insightful commentators you'll find in talk radio. Now, here's your host of the Power Hour, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good Tuesday morning, 11:01 a.m. Central Time, where we are. And, of course, we got the 10% off North American Urban Spice products, but Justin Porter had to reschedule for next week, so make sure to hear the interview next Tuesday. It's a week from today we're going to be doing that. Now, in the interim, we're going to make a little change here. We had some logistical issues, and we're going to get right to the interviews this morning. We're going to go to the Great Deutschland. We're going to Rainer Zeitelman is joining us again. On the show, he's got a new book out, How Nations Escape Poverty, Vietnam, Poland, and the Origins of Prosperity, and it's in hardcover edition. And, of course, we have the way on our website and thepowerhour.com to get a hold of those guest authors, and it's just that simple. If you click on the guest tab, you can do that. And so, Rainer Zeitelman, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you for inviting me.
The one thing that... you know, I want to get into, and I mean, we've had you on before, and the last time we were talking about in defense of capitalism, and apparently there's a lot of people that, you know, take issue with it, and of course they're going to do that. The left is always going to take issue because they want socialism in the U.S., and of course, you may have heard the story about what Houston, Texas's Harris County wants to do, having a guaranteed income program. They want to give $500 away to 1,900 some odd people just at random, like a lottery drawing where they're going to get $500 a month for 18 months. They want the it's kind of like what Andrew Yang was promoting a long time ago about universal basic income. And this is what a lot of the CBDC and the bankers want to do, is they want to actually put everybody in a level playing field so that they can control and regulate them. You know, that kind of works contrary to everything you talk about in the book. What is the book about, first off?
Yeah, first, about this idea, we have some similar crazy ideas here in Germany. For example, now we have the suggestion from our ruling Social Democratic Party that everyone on his 18th birthday should get 60,000 euros from the government. But what would people spend 60,000 euros when I was 18 years old? Maybe some buy a car or have a big party or whatever. And of course, they want to take it away from the rich, from billionaires. This is every time the same story. No, my book, How Nations Escape Poverty, it's about two countries. I give an example, Poland and Vietnam. And it is about how nations escape poverty. A lot of people think that the way to escape poverty is development aid or redistribution. This is what anti-capitalist leftists tell us. But I showed in my first chapter, development aid failed all the time. They gave billions and billions and billions to Africa, but with not much effect. Only, you know, most of it is gone to the pockets of corrupt governments in these countries. But what helps? I have two countries. One country is Vietnam. Let's start with Vietnam. You know about the war. Vietnam was not only in war with the United States. Before, they were in war with France, with Japan, with China. They were in war with almost everyone. And after the war, what was not destroyed by the war was destroyed by the terrible planned economy, because communists won. And the first thing that they did to implement the socialist bland economy that was before only in North Vietnam, also in South Vietnam. The effect was that in the 90s, Vietnam was the poorest country in the world. I really mean it. The poorest country, even poorer than all African countries. This was the reality in the 90s. People had not enough to eat. They produced not enough rice even to survive. Starvation, hunger, this was the reality. And I have a lot of interviews with people from Vietnam who speak about this. But people in Vietnam are very smart. They could blame the United States or other countries for their situation, but they didn't do this. They blamed themselves. Even the communists, the so-called communists, they understood that it was their fault, their mistake. And they started in the end of the 80s with, they called it Doi Moi reforms, free market reforms, introducing private property, opened the economy. Of course, it took a time, but the result is now that the percentage of people living in extreme poverty in Vietnam was 80% in 1990, is less than 5% today. It's amazing. And you see what private property, what entrepreneurship, what capitalism can do. Of course, Vietnam is not a pure capitalist country, but the United States is also not a pure capitalist country. But if you look in the index of economic freedom, there's only one country, and later I talk about this country, Poland, with a comparable size, that gained so much scores in the index of economic freedom in the last 25 years than Vietnam. And this is the story behind their success.
Well, I'm just kind of curious, too, because now you talk about Vietnam and you talk about the issues with their economy and how they bounce back. But the thing is was there, and did you recognize when you were writing this book about the outgoing, the emigration out of Vietnam? Because, I mean, you can't go to a nail salon in this country without seeing Vietnamese people working there. They came over here because they saw a better deal, and apparently they're doing – I've known salon owners that were Vietnamese. We've got into conversations with them. They do nails, manicures, and pedicures. I mean, everybody that goes to a salon these days knows this. These people are entrepreneurs, and they really have a stick-togetherness that you don't see in American entrepreneurs. I mean, have you noticed the outgoing stream of people coming to America to engage in capitalism?
Yes, of course. Some of them came back now to Vietnam because there are a lot of opportunities for entrepreneurs. Some stayed in the United States. But this is another factor. Of course, you know, these Asian peoples, in most cases, are very industrious people. Mm-hmm. You can see it with the income pyramid in the United States. It's black people, Latin people, white people, Asian people. And you know this, even in the universities, in the Ivy League universities in the United States, they have this crazy affirmative action for if you are black, you have to have maybe only 80% of the scores, but if you are Asian, you have to have 140%, because a lot of these people are very good people, very industrious. But even these people with their mentality, if they have the wrong economic system, they were poor, but they understood it. And this is the way why they started with economic reforms. And I was very surprised. I thought that maybe some of them are angry against Americans because of the war. But I found no one. I had a girlfriend a lot of years, and she was from Vietnam. Her parents were from Vietnam. She never said any negative word about the United States or Americans. And on the contrary, I met a female entrepreneur in Vietnam, and she said to me, my parents told me, eat like American, hear the same music, dress like American, and most important, think like American, then you will be successful. And there are also some polls in Vietnam, and they have a very positive attitude, especially, of course, young people, but also older people. And I had also a survey. We asked them what economic systems they like. And at the top, there were countries like Japan and South Korea, But for young people, the United States were even at the second place. And at the bottom were China and North Korea. And we asked them, what do you think about capitalism? And the word capitalism has very positive connotation there. You know, they call themselves officially a socialist country with a communist party. But I can guarantee you one thing. It's much easier to find a Marxist in a university in the United States or in Europe than in Vietnam. I was therefore invited for lectures in four leading universities, for example, the Foreign Trade University. And they read my books, and so they invited me for a workshop, and the topic was what can we do to increase the image of wealthy people in Vietnam. By the way, they have a very positive image, much more positive than in Western countries. But their question was, what can we do to improve it, to increase the image? I was in a lot of universities invited in Europe and the United States, but no one invited me with such a topic. So forget it. If they call themselves Marxist and communist, this is not true. They are very entrepreneurial, of course, in the politics. It's like communism. It's not it's a one-party system. No, not real freedom of press and freedom of speech. But in the economy, they go more and more in the direction of a market economy. They call it a socialist market economy. And the other country in my book is Poland. Poland has a lot in common with Vietnam. So this is the reason why I've put both countries together. First of all, Poland lost more people in the Second World War than any other country, of course, adjusted to population as a percentage of their population. They lost more than every other country. And after the Second World War, they implemented the same planned economy. And first, they saw that it didn't work. And so they tried to make reforms inside the system, within the system, like a better socialism, but it didn't work. By the way, in Vietnam, they tried the same way to improve socialism, but it didn't work. And then in 1990, they abolished socialism. It was in a different way than in Vietnam, because they also they have now, of course, a democracy in Poland. And what they did, they called it a shock therapy. And very interesting, the man who did it, I know it, he's a friend of mine today, his name is Balcerowicz. He was the prime minister and finance minister, and he's a professor for economics, and he believes in the teachings of Mises and Hayek, and he believes in the same teachings as Javier Milei from Argentina. His personality is quite different. You know, Milei is always, you know, shouting, crying all the time. This is more this Balcerowicz, like a typical professor for economics. But they believe in the same things. And what Milei does now in Argentina is in a way similar to Poland, because they had similar problems. In Poland, they had 600% inflation rate. A lot of people were without job. And so what we can learn from Poland, and you know, Javier Milei's speaker wrote the preface for the Spanish edition of my book that will be published in Argentina in 3 months. Wow. And I told them what is very important to see. If you start with this kind of economic reforms, first, some things will get worse. For example, hidden unemployment becomes open unemployment. Sometimes, for example, in Poland, there was 2 years of recession. This can happen in the short run. And I wrote a preface for Argentina, and I told them, please be patient. If you think you can solve problems that have reasons now in decades of a crazy politics, if you think you can solve it in a half year, It will not happen. You have to be patient. I hope they will be patient, because let's go for a second to Argentina. What a lot of people don't know, Argentina was 100 years ago one of the richest countries in the world, comparable to the United States. And then they start with their Peronism and with their kind of socialism and for 100 years, it's going down. They have a double inflation rate since 1945. In every single year, with the exception of the 90s, they have a double inflation rate. So we can learn a lot from Vietnam and Poland. And why is this important? Because at the universities in Europe and the United States, there are a lot of professors and teachers who tell their students that capitalism is to blame for hunger and poverty. And I prove it in my book that this is absolutely nonsense. I give you only one fact. 200 years ago, before capitalism, 90% of the worldwide population lived in extreme poverty, 90%. Today, it's less than 9%. To give the exact number, it's 8.5%. So this is because of capitalism. And even in China, at the time of Mao Zedong, there was the biggest socialist experiment in history. He called it the Great Leap Forward. 45 million people died from 1958 to 1962. 45 million people as a result of this experiment. And even in 1981, 88% of people in China lived in extreme poverty. Today, it's less than 1% because they started with free market reforms, with economic reforms allowing private property. And, in the last 20 months, I was in 30 countries all over the world to promote my book, In Defense of Capitalism, because it's translated in 30 languages. And I had lectures in so many countries. And I asked my audience in all these countries, have you heard about this biggest socialist experiment in history, about Mao Zedong's Great Leap Forward, where 45 million people died? Have you heard at school? Have you heard in university? And wherever I speak, whether it's in Colombia, Venezuela, Korea, Mongolia, United States, or in Europe, only very few people raise their hands. They haven't heard about this. And this is the reason why I'm writing my books, to deliver all the facts that the people haven't heard at school.
Right. Well, you've written 28 books. And I mean, the thing is that you wrote on Hitler's National Socialism. Here's the thing, though, Dr. Zeidelman, is you right now are faced with some realities, in especially in America. We have millennials, and of course, this was an opinion letter in the Heartland. We have millennials and Gen Zers out there that constantly take to social media and complain about the fact that they can't either A, find a job, or B, they got to work 40 hours a week in order to make it, and they can't pay the rent. But this is all basically government-generated inflation because of the way our government has been deficit spending. This is one of the reasons, but they sit there and they say, we're in favor of socialism. I don't think these kids they're adults, millennials and Gen Zers are in the working population. I don't think they really understand the differences between socialism, which is what they appear to be favoring, according to these opinion polls. And to me, it's like the old saying that my dad used to say is they didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground. I mean, are these people confused or what? I mean, how does it work? Why do they have this opinion?
This is a problem. Of course, these people will tell you, we don't want anything like it was in the Soviet Union or in Eastern Bloc countries or in Cuba. We want something else. We want a other version of socialism. But what they don't understand, the socialism worked never in history. They tried it in the last 100 years in more than two dozen forms. They tried it another way in Yugoslavia, then in Albania, another way in Cuba, then in Venezuela, in China, in Russia, in East Germany, in Bulgaria. They tried it in so many different ways, and there's not a single example where socialism improved the living conditions of ordinary people. And then they answer me, these young people in the United States, I know them, I had some discussion with them. No, we want a kind of socialism as it is in Sweden, for example, or in Nordic Scandinavian countries. But this is no socialism. They don't know anything about I've been there several times in Sweden. I know it exactly. They had a kind of democratic socialism in Sweden, but this was in the 70s, in the 80s. And they understood that this was a big mistake. And then they had free market reforms. It's true they have a high income tax today, but you have also in the United States. I have an apartment in New York, and I've at all this federal taxes and state taxes, I pay also 50% taxes. They have high taxes in Sweden. But, for example, Bernie Sanders, I read his last book. His book is It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. And he has one chapter where he says there should be zero billionaires in the United States. So let's talk about this. This is a crazy idea. Because who are these billionaires in the United States? In fact, these are very successful entrepreneurs, like the founders of Google, from Amazon, Microsoft, Oracle, or SpaceX, Tesla, and whatever. And I think the United States should be proud to have a lot of billionaires. And if we speak now about Sweden, I compared the numbers. Maybe it comes as a surprise for you, but in Sweden, they have 60% more billionaires than in the United States, adjusted to population, of course, because they have only 10 million people, and in the United States, I think 340, but they have 60% more billionaires, and in Sweden, they have no inheritance tax, no gift tax, no wealth tax. They abolished all of this. If Bernie Sanders says, let's do it like in Sweden. I said, okay, let's start first abolishing all these kind of taxes. And if you look at the Index of Economic Freedom, this is from the Heritage Foundation, and every year it's ranking how economically free are countries all over the world. You see, the United States have the worst ranking since they started the index. Today, the United States are only ranked 25. Sweden is rank 10, so it means Sweden is much more capitalist than the United States. But it's the position is not so important. What's really important is the direction. For example, Vietnam is not has not a very good rank there. But the development, if you see what happened over the time, you see year by year how economic freedom increases in Vietnam. For example, last year, they had an increase in 13 ranks only in 1 year. So the direction is good. More freedom, and the direction in Europe and the United States is bad because we go more and more in the direction of a planned economy. And some people, they confuse it. They think a planned economy means that all means of production are nationalized. But this is the old style socialism as they had it in the Soviet Union. Today we have a new form. Steve Hobbs is a friend of mine, and he calls it the modern way of socialism. And they don't have to nationalize it. They do the same with a lot of regulation, bureaucracy, taxes, protectionism, and all this stuff. So in the end, it's, what is the difference between a planned economy and a free market economy? In a free market economy, entrepreneurs decide what to produce. In the end, it's consumers' choice. But in a planned economy, politicians and government officials decide. And this is what happens in Europe. This is what happens in the United States. They tell us now what kind of cars we should buy. Everyone should buy electric vehicles. I have nothing against it. Everyone should buy it who likes them. But who want to buy a combustion engine? Why not? They tell you what kind of heater you should buy. Even they tell you what you should eat and not. And, this is what I call socialism. If it's not consumers' choice, but it's politicians and government officials who will decide.
Well, the bigger problem, though, is that they, you know, they're talking about universal basic income. They're talking about handouts and welfare and government dependency. And this is the first path down that slippery slope that's going to get us into a full authoritarian type of regime. And the central banking digital currencies, which I know you have been studying, this works totally counterproductive to capitalism, does it not?
Yes, with this kind of income, we have it now in Germany. They don't call it this way, but in reality it is. You get sometimes for a family thousands of euros. They pay you your apartment, they pay you everything, they give you money, and sometimes you have even more as someone who works hard 40 hours. And what is the effect? We have now almost 3 million people without a job, but on the other hand, the companies, they don't find any people who want to work there. And I understand, it's not the fault of the people. I understand someone who says, if I can decide between hard working 40 hours or going there to the government, getting my paycheck, and I have the same, maybe I have 200 euros less, but then what they start to do, they do then, what we call with the black markets or illegal work, someone cuts the hair, someone paints something. They do some stuff like this. Some are dealing with drugs or so. They find some. We have here organized crime, and all these people, they take this guaranteed income as their basic, and then they do all, you know, their criminal things, and this is the real money they make. So we have this experiment now in Germany, and it doesn't work.
Well, see, and the thing is that they try to control the underground economy in America, because during the Reagan administration, I don't know if you ever read up on Dr. Bruce Bartlett, but he also was sitting there saying, I don't know that we'll ever get a complete handle and complete control on the underground economy, because, I mean, the worse, and this is the thing, there has been a correlation, and this is what Bartlett found. The more they raise taxes in any given society, it doesn't matter what it was, they studied Chile and several other countries, but the more they raised the taxes, the greater the underground economy grew. Does that
Absolutely.
Make sense?
I've been in Argentina, and there you have more people working in the underground economy than in officially paid jobs. More people. I understand everyone. You can't control it. Even a totalitarian state, and this is what we don't want, of course, can't control it. Who comes in the morning, 8 o'clock, to my home to cut my hair? No one can control it. Who's painting there and helping me with something? You can't control it. And I understand the people. I don't blame the people. How they act, it's logical, you know. Yeah. But I blame the government. And so, but to come back to this book on Asian Escape Poverty, why is this important? Because anti-capitalists, they believe in what I call zero-sum belief. What does it mean? They believe that some people are only rich because they took it away from the poor. This is a zero-sum belief. And they believe it not only inside the country, but this is also what they believe in, you know, between countries. They believe that African countries are poor because we are stealing from them. What is absolutely nuts. And so, but if you believe in this stuff, then they think we should give them back and then they will escape poverty. But this didn't work out. You see, Africa got so much development aid, but they are still, it's a poor continent. Asia didn't got so much development aid, but they decided, like in South Korea or Singapore, Hong Kong, Vietnam, for capitalism. And this is what helped. And this is the message of my book.
Okay, well, we appreciate that, Dr. Rainer Zeitelman. Thank you so much for joining us here. And like I said, you can get it on our guest tab. Get a copy of the book and read it. It's got all the ammo in it you need to base your argument. Anyway, we'll be back with more news after these important messages from the Power Hour and the Power Mall. Stay with us.
In acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver. This, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi, this is Dave Krieger for the Power Mall. If you've seen me take a Regarest while live streaming on the Power Hour, you should know that I take this great product from North American Urban Spice regularly. One of the worst things that can happen to a talk show host is lung congestion, and a Regarest keeps that at bay, especially during allergy season. If you're suffering from sinus issues, you may too be suffering from sinus drainage, which gets into your lungs and that affects your breathing. I practice what I preach when it comes to having clear lungs. I can't say enough good things about a Regarest in helping to restore lung function due to sinus drainage and allergies. If sinus issues are bugging you like they do me, do yourself a favor and pick up a bottle of a Regarest from North American Urban Spice online at thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. A Regarest, one of the great products from North American Urban Spice.
Hi, this is Linda from the Power Mall. I would like to tell you about a product that I personally take and recommend. I was very drawn to the Bone Active Topical Rub because I want to build healthy bones and prevent age-related bone loss, which so many of my friends have. Bone Active Oil contains three of the most potent mountain herbal oils known to man: sage, rosemary, and oregano. I rub it on my joints and on the bottom of my feet, and an added bonus is that it smells amazing. Not only is it potent by just rubbing it on the body, but also can be taken internally. Take advantage of the research. Use Bone Active rubbing oil and capsules to support a healthy overall bone density response. I'd love to talk with you more about this product. Call me at 877-817-9829 or learn more by visiting thepowermall.com.
Listen, one of the things that was not mentioned was the Oregadent. That's for when you brush your teeth. You just take it and put your toothpaste on your toothbrush and just take a couple drops of Oregadent and put that on your toothbrush and brush your teeth. And I'm telling you, that stuff, once I brush my teeth, I don't want to eat anything for a while. Anyway, it's wonderful. So I use it a couple times a day, and your teeth really do feel so fresh. It's going to help a lot the next time I go to the dentist. So I really appreciate you giving me the heads up about that one.
Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829. 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And we're back at 34 minutes after the hour here on the Power Hour. Thanks so much for joining us, Dave Krieger, with you. And, of course, the donations... Phil, we appreciate your website donation, by the way. You can do that through thepowerhour.com by clicking the Support Us tab, or you can call 877-817-9829 and make a donation directly, anything $25 or more. And guess what? You get a free vitamin or toothpaste. We'll send it to you. No charge to you. That includes shipping, too. We'll pay for the shipping. Makes it that easy. And, of course, the phone lines, if you are listening to the show right now live, from 11 to 1 Central, you can call in with any comments or questions at 844-769-2944. And you just press, when you hear the prompts, number 1. That gets you into the studio. We're going to try to get Jared Knott on later in the show, talking about Biden pledging ironclad support for Israel after Iran's drone attacks. But, of course, there's a lot of other news going on in here That's a real big problem. Winkin, Blinken, and Nod was with Bill Gates at the World Economic Forum meeting. That happened on Friday. He was over in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And, of course, Gates was there pledging $500 million to a polio vaccination initiative that counts the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation among the private sector partners. So what Bill Gates is proposing to do, he's opening up a new office in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Yeah. So we know now the World Economic Forum had a two-day meeting there to discuss international collaboration on global challenges, including polio. Really? I thought they eradicated that. I guess not. You see, they want to give more people the jab so that they can kill more people. That's the whole idea. It's still depopulation, no matter what you look at. But see, what Blinken was doing there, and the Joker from the UK was there, they want Hamas to accept this generous Israeli truce terms, yet Rafah is still in the balance. Here's the thing. The southern Gazan city of Rafah, all the Gaza the people that live in Gaza, the Palestinians have been moved there, and that's where Hamas's remaining fighters are. And, of course, there are concerns from the Biden administration about the risk the Israeli military operations could pose to the city's civilian population, because apparently everybody in this country, especially the younger set, has their panties in a bunch, so to speak. I know you didn't want to hear that. It's a cliche. I know. They're all upset. The protests are still continuing. We'll get into that in a minute. Everybody's got something to yell about what's going on overseas, and does it do you one bloody bit of good over here? No. You're not in the middle of it, but you want to be. You know, I'm surprised more and more Americans just don't, you know, take a flight over there and go do something about it, but they won't, and they can't, because flights are being limited. No, they'd rather sit here on this end and complain about it. It's okay. I get it. You have a right to your freedom of speech. This is America. UN experts are saying that a North Korea missile landed in Ukraine's Kharkiv. It was a Hwasong-11 series ballistic missile, and the UN, of course, is investigating. This is what Reuters is reporting, if you can believe that. 32-page report, UN sanctions monitors concluded that debris recovered from a missile that landed in Kharkiv, Ukraine on 2 January derives from a DPRK Hwasong-11 series missile, and it's a missile. It's in violation of the arms embargo on North Korea. And you think that what's-his-face over there, what did the Trump call him, the fat man, fat boy? You think that he really cares what the UN thinks? We already know that probably North Korea is supplying weapons to Russia. Of course, both Moscow and Pyongyang have denied the accusations, but vowed last year to deepen military relations. Kim Jong-un and Putin have had meetings. We know this. We've seen, I mean, maybe it's the optics, who knows. But see, when they went in and started investigating, the Kharkiv region prosecutor's office showcased fragments of the missile to the media, saying it was different from Russian models. This may be a missile which was supplied by North Korea. Okay. So now we know. So you've got tensions in the Middle East. You've got the Gazan city of Rafah, which may come under siege by the IDF. And what are you going to do about it? You're going to call and complain to your congressman? Oh, I got a story on that. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Indonesia's Ruang volcano has erupted again. The highest alert status possible has been exacted. 12,000 people have been evacuated. This happened this morning, local time, over in Indonesia. 12,000 people evacuated that were living on a nearby island because the plume was like 3.1 miles high. So residents of one of the islands have been relocated to an island to the north of where they were, nearest the volcano, just so you know. All right, moving on to U.S. News, because this is where things get hot and heavy, folks. Yesterday, don't know if you've been paying attention, but U.S. Marshals and Charlotte Mecklenburg police were attempting to serve an arrest warrant on a suspect who had been charged with possession of a firearm by a felon. And when they showed up at the home in East Charlotte, North Carolina, the suspect walked out with a high-powered rifle and engaged in active gunfire, killing three U.S. marshals, one local police officer from Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department died later of his injuries in a hospital. Four other Charlotte Mecklenburg police officers were injured after attempting to serve the warrant. In total, eight officers were shot, half are dead. So was the guy they were after. He was standing out in the front yard opening a fire with a high caliber rifle. Two persons of interest, a woman and a 17-year-old, who were extracted from the home are also in police custody. Police said the marshals went to the home to serve the warrant. And, of course, they returned fire, killing the suspect. But four officers died in the process right there on the front lawn of the home. Additional gunfire from the high-powered rifle came from inside the home. They probably suspect the 17-year-old of doing that. Of course, like I said, the Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer who was fatally shot, taken to a hospital, succumbed to his wounds later. Bystanders told local media they thought they heard at least 100 rounds go off during the exchange. Snipers were actually going through people's homes next door to try to take up a perch position so they could get a better shot at things. Pretty crazy, huh? Yep, and this is one of the unpleasantries of being a high target profile job, like being a cop or a U.S. Marshal. So, there you have it. The other four officers who were hit by gunfire apparently are recovering. They're going to make it. The New York judge, Juan Merchan, has found former President Trump in contempt for violating the gag order in his criminal trial. This is late breaking news this morning. has fined the former president $9,000 for 9 posts, ordering him to remove the other 7 offending posts from Truth Social and 2 offending posts from his 2024 campaign website by 2:15 this afternoon Eastern time. And if he doesn't, guess what? He could face jail time. That's what the judge has suggested. This would be stupid in my book, because you are going to make former President Trump a martyr. And you might see somebody who loves Trump that much, that thinks he is it. He is all that plus a bag of chips. Somebody out there is going to exact revenge. They're not going to like it. You put him there and you make him a martyr. You want to start a civil war? This is a great way to do it. Great way to do it. The judge also found President Trump's April 10th post referring to former lawyer Michael Cohen and porn star Stormy Daniels as sleazebags was not a gag order violation. He said Trump's contention he was responding to previous posts by Mr. Cohen is sufficient to give him pause as to whether the people have met their burden as to that post. But you see, here's the thing. The 9 other posts attack the credibility, arguably, of the 2. Moreover, a careful reading of the terms of Merchant's gag order is going to raise questions, according to Harvey Kushner, chair of the Criminal Justice Department at Long Island University in Brookville, New York, and an expert witness and consultant who's worked extensively with federal agencies on terrorism, drug, and other high-profile law enforcement matters. Kushner said this case, where a gag order is being used as a political weapon. Here you have a different situation. You have somebody who's actually running for president. This order is not allowing him to comment when he should have the ability to make his case on every aspect of the proceeding. There is no precedent for this. It's political. It's a weapon. And see, the thing is that Bragg and all of his bunch are out there trying to use these laws that hardly anybody ever uses to try to use them to weaponize and convict Trump. They're going to get him. So, you know, they're going to have to take him down. This is what the left is going to do. The left is out there because they know Trump's got an ego. They know the people who support Trump love Trump. They're going to put all sorts of stuff out there to get people upset so they do something stupid. And they're going to put words in Trump's mouth and twist what he says because they want to irritate him into doing something that the judge is going to deem violative of his gag order. So they're going to keep poking the bear. You see what I'm saying? It's all by design. Water off a duck's back, President Trump. Water off a duck's back. Just let it go. The jury will figure this out. You have lawyers that are going to object. Just let it be. Stop with this stuff. That you're feeding into what they want. I know he can't hear me. He's in trial right now. It's ongoing. Columbia University. Let's move on to this because I know we got some phone callers that are going to be are upset with what's going on here in America, because some of these kids, you know, half of them don't even know why they're doing it. They've been told that there's genocide going on. They know about October 7th. Columbia University has started suspending students involved in the anti-Israel encampment. They told them, look, you guys need to go. VP of Public Affairs Ben Chang revealed it in a statement. They started the process of suspending students. Look, you were told you got until 2 o'clock to vacate the encampment. They didn't do it. So now they're finding out who they are. Now, you know what would be amazing is all these people that are protesting around the country, how many of them are students? How many of them are just, you know, paid protesters by Soros? 3 more arrests happened at UT Austin, where protesters set up encampments and refused to leave there as well. But wait, there's more. No, it's not the Ginsu steak knives commercial. Anti-Israel protesters involved in an encampment at Columbia took over an administrative building early this morning, posting videos to X, carrying barricades into Hamilton Hall, an academic building on the university's campus, posting stuff on Telegram. calling for protection of the encampment. Student organizers have called on everybody to come to Columbia tonight and defend the encampment. And, of course, they posted videos and people can be heard chanting. And, of course, anti-Israel protesters who occupied Hamilton Hall were photographed hanging pro-Palestinian posters from the windows of the building. Protesters videotaped hanging a banner from the windows in Tifada. Remember that? Well, the Biden administration doesn't like that. That term, intifada. They don't like that term. John Kirby even took issue with it. So you got to wonder who's putting this garbage in people's heads. And why, when all this genocide was going on in America because of the jab and the mandates, you know, it's really funny too, is the people that are, most of them that are favoring the Palestinian community over there in Gaza are the same ones that say, my body, my choice, and they're pro-abortion. That means they want to kill living human beings, no matter what stage of the game, they should be allowed to do it. Well, you know what? It's a free country. God gave you free will. I just don't think the government should be funding any of it. That's my opinion. The government should not pay for abortions. If they want to go out and make that mistake, they need to pay for it. They want to kill people, God will do the judging. They've taken abortion. They've made it a political thing. They've gotten all these people out there upset. Now you got that Southern boy, James Carville, that Democratic consultant out there, calling these 26-year-old effing, yeah, you saw the video? Oh, yeah, effing 26-year-old, they're not going to go to the polls and vote because they're mad and they're going to give Trump a White House. Well, boop brickety hoo for you, Mr. Carville. Why don't you just go away? See, this is the thing. It's all divisive. It's all there to get people to call up and be angry and go do something stupid. That's what it's for. Because, see, somebody's going to go out there and they're going to do something stupid. They're going to get so fed up. You never know. I mean, people are thinking, gee, what could we do to stop one of these protests from happening? You saw what happened at UT Austin back in the 60s with the sniper, huh? That got everybody running. You see, it just takes somebody that says, okay, I've had it up to here. But see, this is what they want. They want divisiveness in America. They want everybody down each other's throats so they can come in and impose martial law and start arresting people and putting them in camps or whatever it is, filling up our jails. Because they're the government and they can do what they want, right? It should be interesting, too. Florida has mostly registered Republican voters. Democrats now have said, this is the Florida Democratic Party, headed up by Florida DNC Chair Nikki Fried, who was the agriculture commissioner there. They're going to run Democrat challengers in all 28 Florida U.S. congressional seats. They want to turn Florida totally Democrat. Good luck with that. On a more interesting side note, and this is where, before we go to the phones, we're going to have a conversation. And maybe in next hour we do this, but I want to talk about Greg Reese's Substack page. Has some damning details about the Zionist death grip on the U.S. government. When Netanyahu demanded that the protests against Israel be stopped, the U.S. government complied. Because their members of Congress have all been bought and paid for with tax dollars given to the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, known as AIPAC. And they openly brag about it on their official site. Because they don't have to register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which requires agents of foreign principals to register and provide transparency. And beginning in 1962, they were known as the American Zionist Council, and President Kennedy was ordering them to register as a foreign agent. Along with members of the U.S. government, the Zionists fought against it. In October of 63, forms were prepared for him to register. But the next month, JFK was assassinated, and Israel has never been asked to register since. 4 years later, They attacked the USS Liberty. I'm talking about Israel, murdering dozens of Americans and injuring over 100. U.S. government helped them cover it up, said it was an accident. On the day of 9/11, five Israelis who were seen videotaping the collapse of the Twin Towers and celebrating were arrested and detained for several weeks. In documents later released by FOIA request, the FBI redacted their faces in pictures where they were posing in front of the burning towers, described them being happy and jovial. One of them stated, "Israel now has hope the world will understand us." At the end of the declassified document, it asked if they had foreknowledge of the event. Were there to film it? The answer was redacted. As soon as they released it, they returned to Israel, went on TV, confirming the answer was yes. They were there to film it. They had fake student IDs. In March of 2000, several of these Mossad art students were living in the World Trade Center as part of the World Views Artists in Residence program, occupying floors 90 and 91, where walls were unfinished and structural beams were exposed. Go figure. All of this stuff. 9/11 Commission report doesn't mention Gelatin, E-Team, or any of the Israeli Mossad art students. Isn't it amazing how that works? One note of worth mentioning about economy and business, J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America have suffered a $4.5 billion loss as unrecoverable debt soars. And why is that? Debts consumers are unable to pay. They got charge-offs on what? Credit card debt. Will likely never be repaid. Bank of America seeing cracks in finances of borrowers with below prime credit scores. Crazy, isn't it? Net charge-offs also on the rise at Citigroup and Wells Fargo, as a matter of fact. Things are getting real unstable, folks. America's using their credit cards to go buy groceries, trying to stay alive. This is pretty sad stuff. All right. After the top of the hour break here on the Power Hour, I'll be talking to Jared Knott. Stay with us.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.